And here we are, Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, back for hour number two of On the Air Today on this Wednesday, July the 15th, 2020, 7/15/2020. Jeff Ruth stopped in and stole one of my apple butter donuts. I know he's listening, so I can say that.
He liked it.
He did like it. Yeah. They are likable. Okay. Apple butter donuts.
You notice I didn't steal one.
I created them. That's all you need to know. I created them. So we're talking about President Harding here and the possibility of his grandson having his body exhumed. Should that happen? Should it not happen? Give us a ring, 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We'd love to know what you think, as his grandson, Jim Blessing, was on this program yesterday. To me, that's a great moving story.
I like the name Blessing.
Well, because to me, it's got a lot of moving parts.
Okay.
You know, it's an ever-evolving story. It's, we didn't think the president had kids, and now we know he had a kid, and now we know he has grandkids, and now the nephews don't want them in on the thing, and it's a moving story, and now will the president be exhumed? I like a story that has legs.
You know, the problem I have with all of that is when you're dead and gone, nobody will care. I don't think. I suppose there are people, historians, that will care that he had children. But, boy, I tell you what, to worry about it bothers me.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just, there are so many things to worry about.
Go ahead, caller.
I think he has a right to know.
Yeah. I now, suppose he does.
Now, what is your feeling in general on... Did you hear the... You heard the interview yesterday, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, for his reasoning, even though now that his cousins have acknowledged it in a letter through the lawyer, that he still wants it done because he wants that direct lineage, what do you... Because I thought he spoke with a lot of passion yesterday.
Absolutely. And it's not the whole family. I mean, it just needs to be put to bed. If it was me, I would want to know where I came from. I would want to know that my family was maybe avenged. I think of the Harding home there, it's just, you know, it's an embarrassment. He has a right to know.
What do you make of the way the Harding home has... And you know, I can't... Like I said, they'll never come on. I don't believe they'll ever come on the station and talk about it. And I don't believe they would ever answer a question about it. Now, maybe I'm wrong. And if they do and will come on, you know, we will not stop you. Mm-hmm. But why do you think they've excluded him? 5 years this has been known now.
Because of... It's just embarrassed. They're just embarrassed. And I don't think it's the way Jim was talking yesterday, it's not the whole family that is agreeing that that he is the grandson.
Well, it's the family, the family that lives in Cincinnati here. But, you know, and I will say this, and I don't know the intricacies of this, but I do know that a big donor to the Harding expansion out here was the Harding family in Cincinnati. So maybe, I'm sure the home is never going to say that, but that could be part of it.
It could be. It doesn't matter if there's money involved or money not involved. The man has a right to know.
Well, do you think he doubts it at this point that he's the grandson?
No, I don't think he doubts it at all. I just think he wants everybody to acknowledge who he is and to acknowledge his mother and to acknowledge his grandma.
Do you think the big hang-up of this is the 1920s and an affair with a married man and a child out of wedlock? Is that the big hang-up here?
I believe so. And with yeah, with Harding and President and Marion, Ohio, and the man had an affair, and nobody in their family, you know, wants to admit that, oh, gee, well, maybe Grandpa wasn't the best guy. But he was. You know, he cheated on his wife. He had a child out of wedlock. And that family needs closure. Jim needs to know.
What do you think the hullabaloo locally? Because it's interesting because the Harding family lives in Cincinnati. Jim lives in Oregon. But we who all live here in Marion and people who operate the Harding home have the Marion connection. What do you think it would be to have the Harding Memorial opened and the crypt open? I mean, that would be a rather, maybe the term's ominous day for Marion.
Yeah, well,
we'd get a lot of national attention. Yeah.
You know, had everybody just gone, okay, go ahead, do this, it wouldn't be such a big hullabaloo.
Yeah, and, true.
You know, it just would have quietly happened. And
why not? You know.
I'm sorry?
And why not? Why not do it? I mean, it's...
Right.
It's really
invasive. I don't know what the other part of the Harding family, I don't know what their problem is.
You know, it comes down to kind of a religious thing, I think. I think so. I think some people really think once you're laid to rest, I don't know, that body goes up to God or something. But and other people believe that it doesn't make any difference. You turn to dust.
Well, if your soul goes up there, then
what difference does it make?
Your bones are doing laying in
right.
that casket.
Well, talking to Jim and understanding the position, I think, of the Harding family and the Harding home, to be honest with you, I don't see the religious connotation here. I think it's just that's bad publicity. That's bad publicity.
Yeah.
And I think
absolutely.
That's all they see it as.
They're embarrassed.
Well, at this time, with the politicians that we have in this world,
and
they shouldn't be embarrassed. Yes.
Did I say that on the radio?
That's all right. You can follow me on my show next. A Passive Life.
It's
Progressive Life.
A Passive Life.
Passive
life. There you go. It's a great opinion. Thank you for calling in.
Sure, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Phone lines are... It's an interesting topic.
Yeah, she kind of changed my mind.
Like quick.
Maybe
it is a passive life.
Yeah, it is.
740-383-9944 if you want to weigh in on this. 740-383-9944. We're talking about President Harding, the possible exhumation of his body at the request of his grandson, Jim Blessing. And how's that all going to flow?
I can see our caller's point. He would want to know. I'd want to know, I think. Not that it would make any difference to me. I know who my father and mother are, but... If I didn't, I'm not sure it'd make a difference, but I do have shirt tail relatives that don't know who their parents are, and it becomes very, very personal to them to find out.
Well, isn't it always like 9 times out of 10 that somebody who's adopted always at some point has that thing about they want to know who their parents are?
Yeah. I think
what's
that's
the difference?
True. Yeah. I don't think there is a difference. I think the caller's right. He has a right to know.
So there you go.
Yeah. And I'm with you.
and so in the end, what's going to be the big deal about, you know, just popping the lid open and doing whatever they do?
And for me, and you know my religious position, it would make no difference.
I can't imagine any I don't think it has religion at all. I think
you
it's
don't?
Just, okay. No, I think that it's just another story that they don't want that will confirm what they don't want confirmed.
Yeah. I did figure out this weekend when I was talking to my puppy about the show this afternoon. We decided that I am not agnostic. I am Native American in my religious views.
Which means what?
I believe in nature.
You believe in the nature?
Yeah.
In Mother Nature?
Yeah. And not necessarily Mother Nature.
You can fool Mother Nature, but you can't fool Father Time.
Is that right? Is that an expression?
I think so, because Mother Nature, you know, you can get plastic surgery and you can do all the things that you can do to try to look younger, but your age is still your age.
Have you ever noticed how rarely getting your face fixed makes you look better?
Well, now, some people, I think it does.
Some
people, I think it does. Like, I think... Well, a person who was a poster child for this, Joan Rivers, mm-hmm. I think had she aged... Now, people made fun of her because she'd had so much done.
Yeah.
But I think had she aged normally, she would have looked like an old lady.
You know, the problem I have with getting your face done is you always look like somebody stuck a broom up your butt.
Really?
I think so.
But you know, how
I'm
many,
sorry, folks.
How many people have had it that
yeah,
we don't
that
know?
That we don't know. You're right.
And they it was, boy, don't you look good.
Yes.
And it's just, it's all phony baloney.
Yeah. Well, that's okay with me. I mean,
you can tell when some people get it done, though. That's the problem.
They're gone for 2 weeks.
Well, their face looks puffy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've noticed that's one of the, to get rid of the wrinkles.
Oh, you have a lot of friends that have had their faces done?
No, but I'll tell you, there's some people who I could point out if
that
you looked,
need to have it done.
Well, no, that if you looked at their pictures and you looked at them when they were 70 and you looked at them when they were 80, you can see the difference.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. That their bone structure
so
doesn't
be
even
me
look.
Because I'm not 80 yet. But.
The bone structure doesn't even look.
Can they do stuff with your bones?
Well, no, but I mean, it doesn't even look the same because they've squirted so much stuff in. Ooh. And they've, you know, pulled and done what they've done.
That's what they ought to put in your donuts there. Some of that squirty stuff.
Squirty stuff? Botox. Botox is what
and
it
your
is.
Your tongue goes numb.
And by the way, we do have another question looming here. Uh-oh. Right now, which is, what's the difference between a donut and cake?
Yes, that is looming.
That is a looming question today, and we do not have the answer yet. And again, we thank the lady for bringing the apple butter donuts.
Yeah. Now, is it true that Mrs. Harding was not buried with Mr. Harding for like 8 years or something?
Well, he was in a, I don't know. I don't think that's right because.
He was in that crypt
they were in
across
a crypt.
The street.
Right. I mean, okay. Wasn't she?
I don't know. I think so, but.
I would say so. Now, okay. the I've been told many times, you know, because everybody thinks the dog is buried in there, and that's not true.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been corrected on that before.
Yeah, that's a good question, too. What do you do with your favorite
So they don't have to worry
dog.
About the dog getting dug up.
Yes.
I still wonder what happened to his dog collar, his gold dog collar.
Somebody
hijacked it.
Yeah.
And somebody said they melted it down and stole and sold it. And I just don't believe that would happen because here's why I think that would not happen.
Okay.
Number one, at that time, it was such a big story all throughout that if anybody would have just walked in with a pile of gold or anything, people would have been suspicious.
When did it happen?
2012.
Oh, so it's recently.
Yeah. So I don't think that happened. And I think number two, the reasoning behind it is that I still say that there was something more to that than just stealing it for money. First of all, I don't think you would have gotten that much money because you wouldn't have been able to go to the pawn shop and say this is President Harding's dog's collar.
Right.
It would have just been the gold value.
Right.
And that wouldn't have been very much.
No.
And also, it was done in the middle of the night on Mount Vernon Avenue, where the home is.
Yeah, how could
and
you
on
not
the
be
second
seen?
Floor, on the second floor, you had to put a ladder up there. Had to have. Couldn't jump. So, number one, you had to know where the dog collar was. Number two, nothing else was stolen. Number three, you had to know there was no alarm system because the window had to have been broken. And who does not see somebody out there with a ladder on our busiest street in Marion in the middle of the night? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I think you'll find that the main difference between a donut and cake is a donut is made with yeast.
There you go.
A cake is mostly flour and shortening and milk, water, you know, something.
So if you added,
that's the biggest difference.
If you added yeast to, let's say, carrot cake mix, would that make it a donut?
I don't know.
Isn't that a stumper?
And if you made it
you always come up with stumpers. ones that there aren't any answer to.
That's right. They just go around for roll around in everybody's mind forever.
Cake.
Yeah,
yeast cake.
Did you try the Boston Cooler?
No, and I thought about doing that this Friday because on Fridays I'm here for 5 hours.
Sounds good.
So I thought, you know, I just bring the Verners and the ice cream in here and start at 8 o'clock and knock them back all morning.
Don't you have to put
in? You said that a week. You said that better than a week ago. You were going
to
do that.
I know.
Don't you have to put booze in it?
Sean came in last Friday night and we never got to it. But this Friday I'm looking toward it.
Okay.
A little whiskey on the bottom.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm working on that.
I got a question for you about what
the dog
had.
Collar.
Yes.
The dog collar. So, Claire, I think it was an inside job, and I'm not saying somebody who worked on the inside, but
like
you would have to know an awful lot.
Sounds like a fraternity prank to me.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
So I always said if somebody knows, and boy, people don't like this, but if some, because they're probably afraid of bringing it back because they'll get prosecuted. So why, if anybody has any information on this, somebody knows something.
You know what? Charlie would have found the answer because he found out where the lady was.
Right. Well, yeah. But I'm saying that's what, and he found out by finding somebody who knew something.
Yeah.
So somebody knows something.
Yeah.
And I want to know. Seven. You have to give your name, and we won't give your number out.
Right.
We're not bound to do that. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That's why Charlie didn't like working with you, Glenn. Yeah. It was all because of stuff like that. Little moves like that.
He loved me.
740-383-9944. We'll be back.
From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
31 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, back with you here on the air. And I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Scott?
Yes.
Yes. In regards to President Harding... my grandfather and President Harding were college buddies at that Ohio Central College over in Iberia.
Oh, wow.
Years ago. And I have a kind of a personal interest in seeing how this thing turns out with the DNA, if they're able to follow through with that. And was also wanting to make contact with James Blessing, if you have that contact information that you can share.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, I mean, I'll contact Jim and see if it's okay with him. What's the personal interest in it?
Well, only the fact that my grandfather and he and President Harding were college buddies, and I know from my cousin and my mother that they shared textbooks together and were pretty good buddies.
Hmm. So what was said about the president? What kind of guy was he?
Well, I have very little input from them because it's been so long ago. I had no interest as a young child in this. I just found this information out before my mother passed and before my cousin passed away. So they didn't have very many details to give to me.
Well, it's interesting. You know what? I will contact, I have your phone number here, and I'll contact Jim and see what I can come up with.
Very good.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, and see, that's it. It still goes back. Go ahead.
My pot is not
that's
very
weird.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have an ingredient for your donuts.
What's that?
Lemongrass.
You'd have to talk to the person who cooked them.
Well, you know why?
Why is that?
Because they're adding lemongrass to cow feed to reduce flatulence.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and that would reduce flatulence from that.
Well, we don't want that. We don't want any flatulence in there.
No. Hey, and I just noticed, I just got a message on my phone that Walmart is going to require that you wear face masks starting Monday. Now, I was in there last week, and I was surprised at how few people were wearing. I felt like I was guilty for wearing a face mask.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
No. It's annoying as hell.
Well, we're going to see what happens tonight.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But I this dog collar thing fascinates me because I know that somebody knows.
Do you wear a dog collar?
No, but I'm stuck on this. Because I want to know.
Does Bailey give you a dog collar with little spikes on it?
No. Okay. I just would like to know where the dog collar went. Don't you? Wouldn't you like to know?
I would love to know, yes. Yes. It's probably
Kids have been missing it for 8 years now. And that used to be one of the most popular exhibits inside.
Did it really?
Yes.
And I did see it when I went through. Yeah.
So it's annoying that somebody, and I'm sure it's just a prank, and I'm sure somebody has it. It's probably in somebody's basement somewhere.
Or in their bureau drawers. Yeah.
So I just want to know somebody who knows something about it. Did anybody ever hear anything about it?
How about that you and I, or you, since you're the creator, you become...
As long as you understand that, that's the important
you become
part.
The conduit to get it back to its original owner.
Well, I certainly would.
Without...
With the police. Right.
Yeah, without telling anybody who...
I wouldn't tell anybody.
Returned it to you.
I can keep a secret.
There you go.
Go ahead, caller.
He can.
You know, you guys are crazy.
Well, Glenn is. I don't know about the me.
Hey, hey.
I'm
middle-aged.
I had to pull over because I'm laughing so hard about cow farts.
I'm sorry. But lemongrass will do that for you. But don't eat it. It's terrible.
Guess. I mean, that was one heck of a little chuckle I had. I couldn't believe I was hearing flatulence on there.
Well, I did clean
I'm
it up.
Thinking, and... I'm thinking of Scott there farting cow farts.
Well, I'm not going to say about this.
I took some Pepto before I came in this morning. I got the Pepto in me.
Are you still on the side of the road?
Oh, I am. You mean you already got the gas out there?
Well, thank you for calling. Did you see any dog collars along the side of the road?
Yes, let us know. Yeah.
Oh, dog collars?
Yeah. Yeah, President Harding's dog's collar is missing.
That's what we're talking about, yeah.
Oh, what is it? Is it still missing?
Yeah, 8 years.
It is. 8 years it's been going. And by goodness, that's our new goal in life here is
we're
to
get
that
it.
Thing back.
Get it back.
I bet you I know where it's at.
All right. Yeah, well, don't say it in public.
You know, Clark Griswold on the back of his car coming back from Arizona.
It could be. You might be right.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Drive carefully.
See what you started, Glenn.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you never talk about flagellants.
Lemongrass.
We're here for dog
terrible.
Collars today.
Lemongrass.
Dog
is terrible.
Collars.
I grew it last year in my.
Are we on? We're doing two different shows here.
Are you talking to me?
I'm doing a show about dog collars. Because I know somebody knows something, and by
somebody
hook or
does.
By crook, I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. It's me, Dustin Scott. Hi.
Okay.
So I got a personal opinion about this DNA test.
Oh, go ahead. Did you hear the interview?
Yeah, I did. I heard part of it. I was at a dentist appointment and only caught like the tail end of it.
Yeah, go right ahead. Give us your opinion.
All right. So I have personal preferences to this situation. The situation with the DNA test, I recently found out that I have two half-sisters as of 4 years ago. And
that's nice.
Somebody was fighting me on getting a DNA test to see if we were actually half-sisters. Because there was a lot of arguments whether coming from certain people on whether we were actually related or not. And I thought it was quite obvious because I looked a lot like one of them.
Huh.
But we went ahead and got the DNA test done between me and one of the siblings and found out we were actually half-siblings.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, and I think one of the reasons why I wanted to get it done was because I wanted to know. I wanted to know if I had nieces and nephews. I wanted to know if I had any more cousins. I wanted to know, and another thing is, you know, when somebody like that figures it out, there's a sort of a loss there as well. Because you realize how much you missed out on with those siblings.
Yep.
Oh, I think you're right. I think that's very, very well put. And I think the problem here is, though, is that it's the big Harding Memorial, and it was a president, and it is the 100-year anniversary.
And I think building a new
thing. And I think the idea of disturbing his final resting place is the issue that a lot of people are having with this.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people probably find it a little bit disturbing, I would say. I personally don't. I don't see an issue with it. But everybody has a different opinion, and respectable or not, you know, it's still their opinion, and they got to weigh in on it, especially if they were related and it's a family. But at the same time, I think this guy also has rights, and he should be allowed to find out.
Well, it's an interesting and a unique perspective you bring. Hey, I thank you for listening and calling in.
No problem, Scott.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Phone lines are... See, there's a personal perspective.
Sure.
740-383-9944. Should we open the crypt up and see what's going on? Where's the dog collar? We want to know things here.
I have a personal problem.
If you mention anything to do
no
with any bodily functions,
no.
I'm going to call an end to this show right now. This will be like a rain delay in a football game.
No, but...
Baseball game.
What are they going to do with the tree that's right in the middle of the...
That's what you're worried about, the tree?
Yeah, they'll have to tear it up, and it's been growing since they...
They're in crypts. They're above ground.
Oh, they are?
Well, aren't they?
I don't know.
Isn't that what's in there? They're above ground?
I've looked at it, and I've never noticed that.
Isn't that the two big...
I'm going there right after we get
up there. Isn't that the two big things in there? Isn't that them that have their names on them?
Oh, well, that would make a difference.
I think you just slide the lid off, and
don't worry about the tree.
I don't know why the tree would have any issue.
Well, because the tree supposedly was planted at the time that they were buried.
Right, but the tree, why would you have to mess with the tree to take the lid off?
You wouldn't have to. I thought they were buried under it.
I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
No, yeah. I think they're in those, there's two crypts there,
okay.
Aren't there?
I'm going to have to go look. I got to admit, I didn't notice one.
I'm pretty sure there.
I've been there a dozen times.
Isn't that what's on both sides of the tree? Those big crypts?
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not trying to chastise you here.
No, I wasn't feeling chastised.
Boy, you're about to throw somebody down the steps?
Yeah. You know me well.
I know you well. So the question is, should we take the lid off the crypt?
Okay.
And where's the dog collar?
And if it's only taking the lid off the crypt, how tough is that?
But it hasn't been off since the 30s.
Probably stinks. But
you think? I don't think at this point. It's been 90 years.
I think they flatulate after they die.
Do they? Yeah. Oh.
Why don't
you talk like this on your show when you get Billy Johnson in here next hour?
Well, that's the show I do that I call the passive voice.
The passive life. The passive voice now.
Passive life.
Oh, man. It's completely a wreck.
God.
Now, what we want to know is you ought to ask Fred Malone tomorrow where he stands on all this with the Historical Society.
I will.
Yeah.
I hope Fred's listening today because I'll...
Well, he called earlier on.
I'll forget all this crap.
Yeah. 740-383-9944. Do you know where the dog collar is? Have you heard anything? Even gossip and rumor at this point would work.
Okay.
You know, gossip and rumor can lead to fact.
Yeah. And it was gold on there.
There used to be a caller, because every so often I would talk about this.
Okay.
And there used to be a caller who would call in and say, I know when you start talking about that dog collar that you have nothing else to talk about.
Well, I was kind of wondering that myself.
But that used to make me laugh.
Because I thought...
I find it fascinating.
That's why I threw flatulence into it.
I just find it fascinating, don't you?
It is, kind of.
How do you get on a ladder in the middle of the night on the busiest street in Marion and break a window and nobody sees or hears anything?
Did you know that a window was broken?
Well, it had to be.
Well, not necessarily.
Open the window?
If it was an inside job or if the person knew. Let's say you took a tour.
Well, you would have to know.
You unlocked the window.
From the outside?
From the inside. Nobody noticed it because you were just with the tour and everybody's and you just lean over and flip that little lever that old windows have. And then that night you just get a ladder or you climb up and you go in and open.
Wouldn't you be a nervous wreck walking in the middle of the night down Mount Vernon Avenue?
I don't know how to do that.
No, I'm talking about forget a thief. You know, breaking into somebody's house is one thing. Carrying a ladder down Mount Vernon Avenue in the middle of the night, going to the Harding home, that's a different story.
Now, there are different levels on the old Harding home. I don't know if they've changed them since they've been working on it, but there are different levels that you could probably get up on the roof without using a ladder and then walk around the back, and if you unlock the correct window, you could just sneak in. And nothing, you wouldn't even need a light if you knew where it was. You could just sneak right to it, close the window.
But that's
leave.
What you would have had to have taken the tour. But the ladder thing, there are neighbors. There are people who live across the street. There are people who live next door. How would you not see anything?
With no moonlight, I think you could get by wearing all black. I think
and
you
nobody
could get
driving
by.
Up the street would say, hey, why has somebody got a ladder up on the side of the Harding home?
Have you driven down the street at night?
Yes, it's less crowded.
You don't. Yeah, but you don't look up at the... I ignore most of the houses that I'm going by. I'm watching for cars or doggies that run out in front of me. or squirrels.
Uh-huh.
You know squirrels don't come out at night, by the way. As a matter of fact, I've had three of my largest tomatoes eaten by something, and I found out, I thought that was squirrels, and they said, the web said, if they're being eaten at night, it's probably raccoons, not squirrels, because squirrels don't come out at night.
You know, we're about to break. And nobody knows anything about this very dog collar. 740-383-9944. Info on Laddie Boy's dog collar. Come back with us.
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We're here in the home stretch today, Scott Spears and Glenn Coble on the air, and there's a reason we have breaks for the what Glenn just said to me during the break.
Yeah. I just liked books.
Yeah, that's what you said.
I was talking about
books. Gee whiz. This is why we can't have other people on this show for fear of what you'll say during the break. We don't have guests on this show.
Have you ever read... Oh, never mind.
Well, you were asking me about The President's Daughter because yes. That was the little clip there that Charlie and I had taped a little joke about. And it was a tell-all book. That's Nan Britton's book, by the way, that Jim is Nan's grandson.
Okay.
And that's who had the whoop-de-doo, rendezvous,
okay,
picadillo with President Harding.
One of so supposedly one of many, seven.
One of many.
Seven or eight.
In any event, the book is a tell-all. Now, you got to remember, we're talking about 1930s tell-all.
Yeah.
But it's very, you know... Ooh.
Flapper day. Well, actually, post-flapper.
I don't know. It's... I don't know what you'd call it. It's has anybody else out there read The President's Daughter? It kind of give me a description. I've read it, but I don't know how to describe it. It's certainly very risque.
Blue?
You couldn't read it on the air.
Yeah. No.
I don't think you could. And if anybody has an extra copy of it, bring me one. I lost my copy of that book.
I have some books, but I can't bring them on either.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz.
Are you a fast reader?
Yeah, I think I can go through a book pretty fast.
I'm a very slow reader.
If you bring me a copy of this book, I'll read it on the air.
Oh.
Yeah, wake up every morning to me reading The President's Daughter.
I'd like to hear that.
Okay. I'm going to have to cut out certain words.
Yeah, I struggled. I don't know if you listened to my show last week, but I read the Frederick Douglass speech of 1856, and it's a two-hour speech. It's not quite 2 hours, but for me it was 2 hours because I am not a good reader.
That President's Daughter would keep people...
That might wake me up.
Glued.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be interesting to get the old Golden voice and have him read it.
Oh, yeah, that would
Wouldn't that be fascinating?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
bring me a copy. Make yeah. me a, go to the library and run it off.
Wow.
Go
That's
ahead, caller.
Illegal.
Titillating.
Titillating. I like that word.
Now to you. Doesn't she use that word in the book?
Huh?
Doesn't she use that word in the book, if I remember right?
Titillating or
no,
the
no,
other
no,
one?
No. She talks about her chest area,
oh,
doesn't
okay.
she?
The caller just.
Are you still there?
Yeah, no. I mean, doesn't she? Am she... I? Don't they talk? I mean, when she goes in the closet at the White House, I mean, that's in the book, right?
Well, Scott, it's been a while since I've read it. I should read that. I have my own copy.
Oh, you see, I would like to say, even if, I understand why people don't want to give up their copies, but if somebody, because I went to Amazon one time and tried to buy this, and it became so popular after she became, you know, whatever, it's like $200 for a copy of this book because it's not being reprinted.
Yeah.
So I bought mine over at Mansfield from a book sales, you know, he had books, and I believe I paid 12, and I was just thrilled to get it because I have a little modest collection of Harding books.
Oh, cool.
But my memory of it was that it was probably, when it was written, it would be have been written to what will be acceptable at the time. Because whenever I hear that little promo you do, I always think, if you think that's wild, you haven't read much.
Well, you know, in its day, I think it paved the way for all of those books that followed. And one thing about it was, and I don't know if there's any true parallel to this, it was a true story. Now we need to look at that book a little differently. It was a true story, I think. And I don't know how many books have been written about that, certainly about a president, that were true.
Well, I know at the time, I read it in my mind as if it was a true story. And after having read it, you believed it, you know, just because of the way it was put down. And that still stands out in my mind. Do you remember how he called her Dearie all the time?
Dearie, oh my.
Well, I think it was because she was like 40 years younger than him.
Well, I guess that could have been why, but that stands out in my mind because he referred to her as Dearie.
I just think, I can't remember where it is in the book, but it's the scene, I think it's the conception now is what we would call it. Mm-hmm. It's the scene where they're in the closet at the White House, whatever happened. It's a very descriptive scene.
If you start calling...
They weren't cleaning, were they?
No, they weren't cleaning out the closet.
Didn't they have other things in there? It makes me want to read again now. Didn't they have other scenes in there where he put her up at... Didn't she live in New York and he would come visit her? Is that...
Well, there was a whole thing...
That?
I mean, originally, I think he got her a job because... It was some senator, not with him, and he wrote the recommendation letters and all this. You know what I found? Did you hear the interview yesterday with Jim?
Part of it, Scott, because I had something else.
Well, I'll tell you, what was fascinating to me is when he started talking about the will and how money was left to her, but not under her name.
Huh.
And I didn't quite understand that, and he didn't want to go any further into it for whatever reason. But I thought that, now who would that have been? So, because we wouldn't know. What name would you put it under, and where did that money go?
Jane Doe.
I don't know.
I don't know. Because Harding's will is public. I mean, it's a document. I've got it. I've read the will, and I don't remember seeing any name in there. I mean, certainly not Nan Britton, but I don't remember seeing a name that was... odd, unless it was one of his sisters. I know that there was something there with one of his sisters, I think. I don't know. But why the money never got to her, I don't understand that either.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to have talked to Nan Britton.
Oh, my.
My goodness. What a lady she must have been.
You're making me want to read the book again. I'll get down off the shelf and read it again because it's been quite a while.
It's a fact. Well, Marianne Michaels, at one point, I think she read the foreword because I think Charlie had a copy of the book. And Charlie brought in the book, and I think Marianne read the foreword. And it's a, you know, I'll have to find that clip because we keep everything. But that foreword is very, very interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe I can find that somewhere in the archive.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz.
What was the name of the young lady that Clinton had his little tryst with?
Monica?
Yeah, Monica Lewinsky. Has she written any books about that?
Don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Holding up for the dough.
Yeah, probably. And there probably will be.
I'll tell you one thing I commend about Monica Lewinsky, and I commend her for this. When she was getting sued and she had legal bills and all that was going on and she was terrorized, I remember she was going to do her first interview, and people were throwing large sums of money at her to do an interview. And she needed it.
Yeah.
She needed the money. And she did it with Barbara Walters for free at the network because she thought her credibility was more important. And I thought, you know, boy, would that happen today? I don't know.
No, I doubt it.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Because people will throw money at you, the Inquirers and the newspaper. Print media is big about throwing money at you.
$130,000 to the lady
of the current president. What, isn't that what he paid her to keep quiet? $130,000.
Well, I always tell people, I always say, you know, legitimate news will not pay you to do an interview. It's just not in the code. They will not pay you to do an interview. Mm-hmm. But you're going to come off more credible because people know it's not set up.
Yeah.
And people know that you're not doing it for money, and you're just going to come off better than doing it for money and selling your story. It's going to come off like you sold your story.
Money is corruption.
Yeah. So I always think do it with the news. I mean, it's hard to turn down that big money sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's you're going to come off better in the end.
Yeah, I think better I agree with you on that one. Yeah. I don't agree with you on much, but that one I do agree with you. I'm sorry. I'm starting to slip back into my doldrum. So
you are?
Make me laugh.
You're upset?
Yeah. No, no.
Oh my gosh, you're like a roller coaster today.
I'm like a
Well, it's because you were talking about, you know, by the way, the person who made these donuts, her
is Yo-Yo?
She's Yo-Yo, yeah.
Okay.
But did I tell you that her what was I going to say? Her how should I say this? What was that? She told me earlier on. I don't want to screw this up.
Her is she going to write a book about you later?
There wouldn't be much to tell. That'd be a pamphlet. There wouldn't be. There's not much to tell there. That would be a short book. Little pamphlet. You know, I wish I had a more interesting life. This past weekend, I hung out with some people who I don't normally hang out with, and we were talking. And I said, you know, I would write a book, but it wouldn't be about the obvious. It wouldn't be about interviews or any of that garbage. It would be about personal stuff. But I told them I would have to wait until everybody was dead to write the book because I wouldn't want to make them look bad.
I wrote my memoir. It's called Memoir of a Nobody, and it can be found. But I had my son, my eldest son, read it, and I'm not sure he got through the whole thing, but he read part of it, and he finally said to me, Dad, you can't do that, because there were some dirty parts in it. And
it wouldn't be dirty. It would just be, mine would be honest to the degree. You notice how, I'll give you an example. I'm going to try to tiptoe through this. We were talking about a relative that, one of the people, we were talking about a relative of one of the people, okay, who, when they were younger, had done some pretty bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty common knowledge that they did this stuff. And a lot of it was witnessed by me.
Yeah.
But this is a rather elderly person now, and they're still living. They're not that way anymore. And a matter of fact, they're even suffering from some mental issues that older people do. And I don't think it's... I don't think, even though they were awful and did awful things, I don't think you can expose that person to that.
Yeah, and there's no sense in it. When I did my memoir, I left all the second names off. I go only by the first name. And on some people where I figured people could have figured it out, I didn't mention either their first name or their last name.
Well, I just think that, to be honest with you, one person was adamant. It was a great. We ought to have this conversation sometime about this sort of thing.
I thought we are.
Well, right, but we got 3 minutes.
Yeah,
and it's a big conversation.
Okay.
It was interesting because one of the person's opinions in the group that we're having this conversation was they were calling the person awful names.
Oh.
And they were saying they're an awful person, and this is why I don't visit them, and so on and so forth. And I said, but that's not them anymore.
Yeah.
So
no,
why?
And we all do change.
Right. But I mean, they're not capable even of defending themselves anymore.
No, that would be bad.
You know, they have a mental issue. Mm-hmm. They might not remember it.
Yeah.
You know, if you would have confronted them when they were in their 60s and they might have had some mental capacity and they were still living independently, that's one thing. But to go when they're over 80... And they've got issues, and they might not remember it. That's the person.
Unfair.
It is, but I think a lot of people feel spiteful in that way, and they say, "Well, that doesn't lessen the awful things that they did." So this is the time to go after them.
Depends on how awful the things were. I mean, Pol Pot. I would.
Well, I just think that in that instance, you have to really take into account, and also take into usually awful stuff involves more than one person, and let's say three of the other people involved are have went on to their reward, you know, they can't even speak to it anymore. So you've got one person who's mentally diminished, and then you've got three people who are gone, who can't even speak to. So how can we speak to what they thought and what they believed? And
it's tough. And when I was writing my memoir, I tried to think about all that sort of thing, in that I couldn't mention people's names, because I didn't, if they were married now and had children, I didn't want to embarrass them. Lots of stuff that you think.
Well, there's things, and my life's not all that entertaining, but there are things that you know, because one of the problems is people say, well, boy, you've had a great life, you get to talk to all these people and go to all these places. And yeah, that's true, but you know, there are other stuff. I mean, it's not just...
But none of them liked you, so...
I didn't like them. It's kind of like you and the picnics. I just said, you know, I never really liked the guy, so we sat together for 2 hours a week, and that was plenty. That was more than enough.
So, I'm sorry.
And who's coming up next?
I've got Craig Swartz on with me, on but my mouth doesn't work.
On a passive life.
On a progressive life.
On a passive life. Coming up
and
here.
And we're going to talk about his run for state senator. So.
And we've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond at Forty Baptist Church, Sunday, 6 to 7. Stay tuned.
It's a good day.
Much more right around the corner.
Whoever has the nicest dream wins a piece of bologna. The following morning when they awoke, a quarter after 7, one of them said, I had a dream. I died and went to heaven. St. Peter met me at the gate, riding on a pony.